manifestations of the power of God and the presence of God. And so we want to just make this, make you aware of that this morning. The scripture here in verses 3 and 4 talk about how Jehoshaphat called his people together to fast and to pray. Now there's, some of you might say, why would we give ourselves to fasting? Well, I believe there's something about fasting that causes our faith to be released with great power before the throne of God. There's something about fasting that causes our faith to be particularly effective in the heavenly places. And so we're going to do that. We're looking forward to it. We'll talk to you more about it next week. But we want to have you pencil it in on your calendar so that we can be geared up and ready to go when this time comes. We believe that this coming year is a year breakthrough for us as a church. And next week, or that week in February, we've called a week of breakthrough. So praise the Lord. Stand with us. Let's stand together and see what God will do. Fallon, come and talk to us.
Welcome, everybody. Doesn't it look kind of spiffy in here this morning? It's amazing what 20 balloons will do to the atmosphere. About 9 months ago, Solid Rock Church received our mortgage paid in full. And about a month ago, we saw it with our eyes. But everything that happens begins in the spirit as a seed. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not real. In fact, the spirit realm is more real than what we see with our natural eyes. Because I say more real in that it's eternal. Spirit things are eternal. And what we do by faith is we reach into that realm that we cannot see. It's like taking our natural hand, but say it with me here. It's like taking your hand, and it's like reaching out, grabbing onto that thing that you cannot see with your physical eyes, but you know it's there because God promised it to you, and you grab hold of it, and faith holds it, and it hopes for what it does not see. It grabs, you know, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Well, faith grabs that substance of what you're hoping for. And as you stand and as you believe, it begins to draw it in, and it draws it in, and we that's what we did. We said, we're taking our mortgage freedom, and we're going to thank you, Father, for it. And this is why we're believing for it. And we grabbed hold of it then as a church, and we waited, and we sowed, and we partnered together, each one of us, you know, from our kids gave cents and dollars to those that gave substantial amount of dollars. We all partnered together, and we said, yes, that is happening. And it's happened, and it began to draw closer and closer until, balloons. Until we own this house. And we said when we announced it, look what the Lord has done. But not just what he has done just because he's God, but he had to do it through people like you and me. And it might not seem like, yeah, we own the house, and nothing really has changed around here. It all kind of looks the same. But something in the spirit has changed in this church. Something in the spirit is different in us. And we are never going back past that line again. And the spirit of the Lord wants to break poverty off of this church. And he wants to break poverty thinking and mentality off of each one of you. Me included. Because there's area in my life where I'm limiting myself. And I'm limiting God from blessing me. And no more. Every limit is coming off in this age, in this time. And we're doing it together as a family. And as a church body, we are never going back. We will never be poor again. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the freedom from poverty. Thank you for providing everything that we would ever need to live a life of godliness, being a hope and a light and salt of the earth, to be a channel that you can use us to bless people and to draw people into you and to do things. It takes money to do things for the kingdom of God and to advance your kingdom and the knowledge of you and your goodness, oh God, to the people of this earth. In Jesus' name, we receive all that you have for us to do in the future. We take hold of it. And we say, thank you for being our supply. And we just are excited for what lies ahead. Amen. In Jesus' name. God has done a good thing, but just think of, just to begin to imagine, begin to dream what he's going to do. Right? Bigger and bigger, better and better. It's good. It's exciting. And this whole service today is about celebrating what God has done and what he's going to do in the future. So we are going to have cake later. But because we all, you know, it's all cut up by the time we all get back there, we just want everyone to see that that's what our cake looks like today. Paid in full. Our last cake, what did our last cake say? Something like halfway or halfway celebration? Well, this is all the way, isn't it? So we really come join us in the fireside room after and enjoy some cake and enjoy just celebrating what God has done. And you know, it's kind of fun to talk with other people. And when you start thinking about things that are happening in your life, things that you're believing for, things that you're imagining and that you're excited for, it's fun to talk with other people who are ready to dream with you. I don't know if you've ever talked to someone, you've had this great idea, and you're like, this is my idea. Isn't it awesome? And they're like, yeah, as if that's ever going to happen, or yeah, I guess that'd be cool. But see, we're all up at a little bit different level here, and so there's people in this room that you can begin to share things with and dream with, and you connect it with the Word of God, and you go for it together as partners and as family. So I think that'll be kind of exciting fireside room talk today. And then, just a quick reminder about tonight, we have the baby shower for Connie and Corey. So ladies, if you bring a snack and bring a gift, and we'll continue the celebrations this throughout the whole day here as we celebrate a new little life in the church. And Bible study this Tuesday, youth back on Thursday. Woo! Woo woo! And yeah, so that's all I have, I think.
Thank you, Fallon. Find some stuff. Fallon mentioned that a number of months ago, it was April 2nd, actually, we had a leaders' meeting. And at that leaders' meeting, we drew up a prayer of petition for the debt cancellation for this church. I want to read from this petition for you this morning as we drafted it. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you that Solid Rock Community Church become debt-free. We ask this in confidence in your word, because in 1 John chapter 5, the scripture says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. We read from Proverbs chapter 22, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. And in Romans chapter 13, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. I have never met anyone who is totally free from debt who says, man, I wish I was in debt. I've never met anybody like that. So for those of us who still got some debt hanging around, we believe that this is the year of favor, and that, as Fallon just encouraged us a few minutes ago, that this is our year to believe that debt can be behind us. Thank you, Father, for freedom from debt. Your word also says in Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And so according to this word, we are sowing a mortgage cancellation seed of $500 into Almond Tree Ministries, and a mortgage cancellation seed of 500 ministries into the ministry of Bill Prankard. We thank you for an abundant harvest of these seeds to completely pay off our church's $70,000 mortgage. According to your word in Matthew 18, the scripture says, surely, surely, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so we bind Satan and all his forces, and we render them helpless to hinder our seed. We loose our ministering angels and charge them to go and bring our harvest to us. Our church is a tithing church. Therefore, we stand on your word from Malachi 3. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightsome land. Thank you for protecting our seed and causing the blessing to be manifest in our church. Jesus said in Matthew 18, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And therefore we set ourselves in agreement, and we believe that we received freedom from the debt of this mortgage. We praise you and we thank you for it. Dated April 1st, 2015. Linda and I were in Moose Jaw the evening. Our telephone rang where we received the announcement that we were over the top. And we've just been so thoroughly blessed, and we've rejoiced from that day to this, as you all have, in the blessing that God's brought our way. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from some of you from the congregation who say, God's blessing has just been on my life and our life in a special way over the last while. Now, sometimes it happens that blessing comes and we know that it's because we did this or that. Sometimes God makes that real clear to us. I've listened to stories upon stories, stories and stories of people who just sowed very deliberately, very specifically for very specific things, very desperate needs, that the response has been absolutely, unquestionably, and undeniably the result of that sowing. Other times it happens that we just have blessing come into our lives. For Linda and myself, we are one of the families that was blessed. We've been blessed over these last 8 months or whatever it's been. And just before Christmas, we received $1,200 for my income tax. Usually it's the other way around at our house. Usually they're sending me these friendly little letters. Dear Ray, we just appreciate you so much and value you much, so much, but we want some more money from you. And this time it was the other way. We just say, thank you God for your blessing. Linda went to work one day and found out that somehow, long story short, she was given some retroactive pay going back. And we just say, thank you, God. Others of you have stories like that we're going to be hearing in just a minute. But we honor the Lord. Today we honor the Lord for every blessing that's come into our lives, and so we celebrate it. One more thing I want to say before Linda comes up. Linda's going to introduce a video. In fact, we have a first video. We should be doing our first video. I lost my... Nathan, I have 5 pages of the order of service, and I lost them. But let me say this, since I'm out of sync already, that I prepared yesterday 2 letters, one for Bill Prankard and the ministry that he leads, another one for Errol Allen and Carol LaSoup. These are the folks whose ministries we sowed a seed into 8 months ago or seven. And we just want to encourage them and thank them for their prayers and for standing with us, for joining with us in the partnership that we forged as we sowed blessing into their lives. And so in addition to all else that we're celebrating, these letters are going to go off this week, and we thank God for it. Before we get to Linda, Nathan, are we ready to go? We just want to remind you one last time of the video that we showed concerning the project that was before us of owning the house.
Prophetic voices have declared this is the year for us to see the glory of God manifest in a greater way. By glory, we mean God's power, God's presence, and God's goodness.
It's time to show the world what they've waited for. Something like they've never seen before.
Whoa, just getting started, just getting started.
With increased glory comes an increase in manifestations, demonstrations, and visitations of God. And, to top it off, this is also the year of the overcomer. Solid Rock is preparing for the greatest season of revival and growth we have ever seen. The will of God is for our church to be free from the limits of the world system. Limits like debt. That's why our church is now committed to quickly paying off the remaining mortgage on our building. Our mandate from Him is to own the house. Our church leadership has sown a mortgage cancellation seed, and we invite you to do the same. If you feel led by God that it's time for you to be debt-free, you can sow your own debt cancellation seed. As we stand together as a family of believers, we agree that you and Solid Rock Church have received freedom from debt. We praise God and give Him all the glory. We own the house.
There's nothing stopping us, yeah, we're just getting started.
We've talked together with Fran and with Eckhart and with Sandra. Each of these folks has come to us with a word of thanksgiving to God for blessing that's come into their lives. Are they everybody in the house? Sandra's here and Eckhart's here and Fran. Can you all folks come? You all come. We've asked these folks if they would just share something of the blessing of God that's flowed in their lives in their home last little while. You all come quick like bunnies. Fran, why don't you take the microphone first? Come on up here, Eckhart.
Yeah, so Pastor asked if I could share some of the blessings in the last few months that God has blessed us with, and for sure we're abundantly blessed, so I could not refuse. I just took a note of a few of them here. It started with, I don't want to go back too far, but just say last March, our son Tim and his wife Jess in BC had a baby girl, and he was in touch with us lots, very proud of his new baby girl, and just begging us to come and visit. And we felt a little tight financially and didn't really see that as a probable thing. But I was grandma, and I prayed, and I really believed from the moment he asked that we'd be able to go, and we did go. We also needed our roof reshingled this past summer, and so that was a double. We needed a lot of finances to do both of those things, and I work as an EA in a school, so I don't have steady employment during the summer. But God provided for our needs and our desires. Yeah. So we went out to BC for a couple of weeks and we got our roof done. And when we returned, I was able to get a job for the rest of the summer. And I made as much during those it was probably just over a month, 6 weeks, as I would make working all summer in the school. So I was just abundantly blessed. Yeah. I have a scripture here I'd like to read before I just tell you the final part of this here. It's Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I bid you, put away anxious thoughts about food and drink to keep you alive, and clothes to cover your body. Surely life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap and store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You're worth more than the birds. Is there a man of you who by anxious thought can add a foot to his height? And why be anxious about clothes? Consider how the lilies in the fields grow. They do not work, they don't spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not attired like one of these. But if that is how God clothes the grass in the fields, which is there today and tomorrow is thrown in the stove, will he not all the more clothe you? How little faith you have. No. Do not ask anxiously, what are we to eat, what are we to drink, what shall we wear? All these things are for the heathen to run after, not for you. Because your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Set your mind on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well. And so that is how God has blessed us. More recently, in November, I think most of you know I rolled Rolly's truck, and it was totaled. But God was with me. I came out of there with just bumps and bruises. The CAT scan said I did have a bleed on my brain, And I want to thank everyone here who prayed for me. I'm sure many of you did. God has healed me completely from that. And I think I've learned to drive more carefully. I hope so. MPI blessed us again. The Lord blessed us again through MPI. It paid us more for the truck than we expected, much more. And it also paid me for almost 2 weeks of lost wages and completely paid for any medical trips that we made. Yeah. And then we had a busy Christmas just right, that was in November right after that. Six of our seven children and their families came home for Christmas. And we were going through a 12-pack of toilet paper a day during the busy days. So I was just starting to think, ooh, how are we going to do this?
We thought we were the toilet paper capital of Canada, but I guess not.
I guess not. But amazingly, God gave us grace for each other in our little house whenever we got together. And Rolly and I were not financially drained. God again provided. We received several Christmas bonuses from our jobs. And like Linda, I received a retroactive wage increase and received that in my last check just before Christmas. And so this is my testimony about how God has abundantly provided for us financially over the last few months.
I'm thinking about tithing. There's always one little story or joke comes to mind, and that kind of guides me. We get to it. And imagine there's a family sitting down for dinner, and that day they have pork chops. And the little girl has a dog, which is usually waiting under the table. And the little girl doesn't really like pork chops, which I don't understand, but... And the good daddy realizes that the girl is trying to fish that pork chop under the table, and he says, "Girl, you first eat the meat," which I probably would have said, right, Jasmine? So when she is finally done eating the meat, the girl is allowed to hand the bone to the dog, and the girl says, "Must have paid attention to tithe and offerings." She says, "Dog, this was supposed to be an offering, but now it's a tithe." I don't know. I like meat on my bone. Do you? And I think God too. I'm running a business, and it's a farm business. You're always up in the air. I bring in a harvest. That doesn't mean that I have that money on my account. I usually get paid over 2 years for my... And the money comes in, goes out to pay bills. By the time you talk to your accountant what you earn, it's 2 years later. How do you tithe? And very often, things are rolling over, are tight. And I still remember when Lance was working for me, we have to almost go that far back, we talked about tithe and giving. And one day he said, "Eckhart, we should actually, beginning the year, tithe as much as you want to earn." Well, I was always easy in math, right? So, and at one time I decided that Lance was right on that one. And I started to give at the beginning of the year how much I wanted to earn. And just looked at the goodness of God. And wow, was God ever good? It just came out that way. And usually better that I was ashamed. So that I had to put a little more meat to the bone during the year. Because I kind of felt let like that. And things came together. And blessings in the last years came up. Over insurances that weren't there, that would cover costs that occurred to me over the last couple of years, that we had a really blessed life. Till this year. Until things really spiraled up in fantastic tax trap that spiraled my cash flow really down, so that I had to grab deep into the banker's pocket, way too deep than I wanted. And at that moment, the eldest hit me with the announcement, "We want to own the debt. If you want no debt, join in." And I thought, oh my goodness, what have these guys done to me? I'm sorry, eldest, I'm just saying that here. That was a total feeling mix-up, because I was torn by my business totally to the other side, what you were saying in church. But as a spiritual man, I'm thankful. I don't know the outcome yet. I'm still in questions. Ross Meyer was here, and he prophesied over me, "Eckhart, you have a lot of questions, but they won't be answered before this year, June. So I guess I have to be a little more patient. I have to hang in faith." And overall, we seeded our seed in this, and we're hanging on in faith. And I just want to say, talk to me. I'm pretty sure we're going to have something awesome to report, just like church, for the next couple of years. So let's keep on talking. Let's keep on believing. God is good. And all the time?
All the time. That's good, Eckhart. That's called sowing where you want to go, right? Yeah, we've used that principle. Galatians 6:7, Nathan, if you could put that up. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." And we have found that so true over the years. We've sown our time. We've sown our friendship. We've sown our talents. We've sown our resources. And whatever we've sown in faith and believed God for, he has always returned to us. Don't be deceived. It always works. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. In 1992, we were directed very specifically to attend Kenneth Hagin's meetings in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We called it a holiday. Some of you might not call it a holiday. It was church from morning till night. You get up and you do it over and over and over for 6 days, and then you go back home again. In 1999, we were directed to go to Kenneth Copeland's conventions, and those are the same. That's the same type of holiday. But oh, the investment we made in our families' lives, and oh, the investment that we made in our lives. One particular, each year, you know, we would trust God to have the finances to be able to attend those meetings. And I remember one year in particular, this one just stands out so strongly to me. We didn't have enough finances, and it was getting close. All year long, we'd clean, cook, and cook insurance. We'd put that money. Our family would clean it together, the office together. We'd put that money into our holiday fund. The kids would cut lawns at the breast apartments, and we'd put that money into our holiday fund. And anything extra that came in, we'd put it in there. But this year, we could see there just wasn't enough. The Canadian dollar was about what it is now, in the mid to high 60s. You know, so everything cost a third more than it would normally. And we took a seed and we sowed it, and we called that our Fort Worth holiday seed, and we were trusting God that that seed would produce a harvest. But it came time for us to leave for the convention, and that money still wasn't in the bank, but we decided that we would go and go by faith. And so with a big gulp, we headed down the road to Fort Worth, Texas. Well, over the years that we had been there, we had met a family who had saved us seats, which was really handy, because when you're trying to check kids into kids' ministry and getting Ryan and Chris were then older, and they were volunteering in different places, and we had to get them into their places. By the time we got into the auditorium, we usually would have been sitting way up high. This family had always saved us really good seats, and we became good friends with them. Well, the Saturday of the convention, there is no service in the afternoon, so we were visiting with this family,
And they said to us in the middle of the visiting, we would like to pay for your hotel rooms. I was like, wow, God. And they said that they saw things in our family that they wanted in their family. So they wanted to sow a family restoration seed into our family's life to see that harvest in their family. Well, we received that. We agreed with them for their the restoration of their family. And we came home from that holiday with zero debt. The entire holiday was paid for with what we had saved and what they had provided for us. That was just such a, there was just such the hand of God. Like Pastor Ray said, sometimes you don't know exactly where it came from. We knew. We knew. We had planted that seed. We had trusted God, and he had supplied our need. We've done that over and over and over in our lives, because when you see that, that something works, and you see that the kingdom of God always produces, you're not afraid to sow into the into that place. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall, see that word shall? We shall reap if we do not lose heart. And some of you are in that place today. Maybe you've sown a seed and you're trusting God and you're in that place of not becoming weary. Don't become weary, right? You will reap. You will if you don't lose heart. If you lose heart and give up, you're not going to reap. Don't lose heart. You will reap. You will. You will reap. Own the house for us is no different. We've sown seed into own the house, and we are believing God for specific things. We haven't seen the harvest on those that specific seed yet, but we are not losing heart, and we will reap. We will certainly reap, and so will you if you do not lose heart. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. I think it was late November, Brad, you said something like this. You don't have much time to get in on this anymore. Before you know it, this project will be complete. How many of us would have thought that in just a few short weeks, the project would be complete? Don't be afraid to invest in the kingdom of God. There will be other things that you can invest in. There will be seeds that you can sow. Do not be afraid. It's the best place to invest your resources, your talents, your time. Whatever seed you sow, trust God, and he will give you a harvest.
Thank you.
Isn't it good to hear those testimonies of the goodness of God? Amen. Doesn't that just help you? Doesn't that just kindle fire on the inside of you to believe God in your situation, in our situations? That's how it is. We're going to pray God's blessing on our kids and have them released to their classes, and then we'll go on with some other things. Father, we just thank you for the treasure. Thank you for the treasure of your word and for the kingdom of God on the inside of us. And for the testimonies that we share, that we've heard already, that we could increase if we gave more time. Father, we thank you that your word is working mightily in us and prevailing and bringing us from strength to strength and from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And so, Father, we pray that same blessing and anointing on our children and on us together as we move ahead in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, kids. Linda's going to come and share with us something more about the ministry of Bill Prankert.
Good morning. I was thinking about the scripture in John 10:10 that says, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. And one translation says, he came to give life better than we could ever imagine or dream. And I really like that translation. You know, we've been hearing about and we were singing about today just the purposes of God, that God has such great destiny and such great purpose for each of our lives, and that's just so exciting. Yesterday, the phone rang, and on the other end of the phone was a little voice from Ottawa, And the little voice said, Grandma, I've got something to tell you. I learned at Cubby's. And I said, what was that, Betta? And she said, Grandma, do you know that God keeps all his promises? And I said, yes, that's so good. And she said, did you know that, Grandma? She said it again. I said, yeah. And it was so exciting to hear a little one say that she is learning that God keeps his promises. And as Ray was sharing that we gave a seed into the Bill Prankert ministry, and they are a ministry that has really taken up one of the promises of God that we find in Psalm 78 that says that the glory of God would be from sea to sea in our nation, Canada. And they have just taken up that mandate, and we specifically sowed into a project that they've been doing over the summer. And the project is called Arctic Hope Project, and it's actually in Nunavut, in a place called it was Repulse Bay, but it's Cape Dorset now. I think Dorset, they've renamed the place. But what it is that their ministry has gone into the Arctic for many, many years, but they've never really had a specific center or a church that would facilitate a lot of their ministry. And so this past summer, they were building a facility in Cape Dorset. They had a number of Inuit men and some contractors from southern Canada that also went up to help. And they are almost completed their project. They hope to be able to dedicate it sometime in May. And this facility particularly has been headed up by a young couple, Stephen and Becky Carlton. And they have had just some powerful, powerful meetings already there. They have seen many, many young people where the enemy has such schemed them and told them such lies that, no, your life is useless. You're never going to change. And we all hear reports of there being a lot of suicide in our northern communities. And these young people just were in such despair and hopelessness. And this couple, along with other missionaries that have been there together with Bill Prankert, have given such hope. And so many of these young people's lives have been so transformed. And they are now reaching out to their friends and their neighbors. And it's just exciting that God has allowed us, as we have partnered with Bill Prankert, we are a part of that. And they have prayed for us as a church as we have prayed for them. And so we have Bill Prankert has a DVD that he has put out. We can't watch it all. It's like way over a half an hour long. But just to introduce, to see them, perhaps you've never, don't know who Bill and Gwen Prankert are. We did have Bill here a few years ago at one of our camps. But this is just introduces them again. They just share a little bit about their vision that they have for Canada. And so with joy, we're so grateful that we had the opportunity to partner with them and to see God do good things in our northern Canada.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Bill Prankert, and look,
we've asked Doug if he would come and speak to us for a few minutes before we receive this morning's offering about the power of partnership and how it affects our lives in the kingdom of God.
Just before I get started, before I get started in doing what I'm supposed to do, I want to read a scripture for you. Back in November, Pastor Ray had mentioned that if you have a testimony, to come up and or let them know about giving testimonies. And when I was up here doing the offering in the middle of November, I made the comment. I said, when he sent out that email, I heard somebody say in the spirit, I heard somebody say, I don't have a testimony. So I told you guys about it when I spoke here in the middle of November. And after that service, somebody came to me and they said, I actually got off my computer and said that out loud. I don't have a testimony. Almost thinking that it was I hiding in the hallway or something. No. That's something I heard in the spirit. I don't have a testimony. In Mark chapter 4, first of all, Fran read this morning in Matthew chapter 6 about how there's all these things in the world, but instead of seeking the things, seek the kingdom of God. But it's not a secret. Seeking the kingdom of God is not some big secret. God didn't hide it. Jesus taught about it all through the Gospels. But there's one particular day that he taught at least 10 parables about the kingdom of God. And it's all, if you do it chronologically, it's in Luke chapter 8, it's in Mark chapter 4, it's in Matthew chapter 13. And he teaches about the kingdom. But in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 26, it says, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed in the ground." And that word scatter is sow. Sow seed in the ground. So some of you have sowed, a lot of you, most of you have sowed into the owner house. And that man has sowed seed into the ground. In verse 27, he shall sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed will sprout and grow. It says, it doesn't say it might. It says it will sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. We don't know how it's happening. It just happens. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. That is called the law of progression. The law of progression. And there's some of you that have sowed into this project, and you haven't seen the results yet. But it's a spiritual law, and it's happening. It's called the law of progression, and it's happening. And so don't give up on it. Don't quit on it. You just keep believing God, keep speaking it forth, and whatever you sowed for will happen. Sandra read it before in Galatians. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. It's going to happen. In verse 29, he says, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So I say to you today, your harvest will come. If you don't give up, just keep believing God because you sowed that seed, whatever it is, and there's a law of progression that's taking place. Now, when I got an email from Pastor Ray on Thursday and just asked me to talk about a partnership a little bit. And through this whole process, I've come up here talking to you guys lots about partnership. And we've shown where Jesus had partners. We've talked about the twice sown seed. We talked about Paul's partners in the book of Philippians. But I just prayed about it and I felt impressed to go back to a story in 1 Samuel. So in 1 Samuel, this is about David. And just before David is becoming king, and him and his 600 men are out. And when they come back to their home, they find that the Amalekites have invaded their place. And the Amalekites have come and they didn't kill anybody, but the Amalekites took all their children, all their wives and their children, and they took all their stuff. And the Amalekites are gone. And the story will pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8. It says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David and his men take off, and they're chasing these guys. And what they're doing is a forced military march. What you're doing in a forced military march is you're moving as much equipment, as much men as possible at a fast pace, trying to catch up to the enemy. And so in verse 9, it says, David went, and him and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Bezar, where they stayed, who were left behind. Well, what happened was, because they were pushing so hard, out of the 600 men, 200 of them were so tired and so exhausted that they couldn't go on. They couldn't even cross the brook. So David says to them, you guys stay here and look after the stuff. We'll lighten the load, and we'll go after the enemy. And so in verse 10, it says, David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Bezar. Then we'll pick it up in verse 19. And it says, this is after they caught them, they got all their stuff back. And in verse 19, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. And then in verse 20, David took all the flocks and the herds that they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. And in verse 21, then David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that he could not follow David. They could not follow David, whom they also made to stay at the brook Bezar. So they went out to meet David and meet the people who came with him. And when David came near, the people greeted them. In verse 22, it says, then all the wicked men out of these 400 people, all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that they that was recovered, except we'll give them their wives and their children. So what they're saying is, these 400 guys are saying, we're not going to share. Even though David got all his stuff back, and then he plundered the Amalekites, and he got all the stuff back from the Amalekites, and they had all this stuff, these 400 guys are saying, we're not sharing with the 200. And David said in verse 23, "My brethren, you shall not go and do with what the Lord has given us." So who gave it to them? The Lord. The Lord helped them win that battle. Who has preserved us and delivered us? Then in verse 24, it says, "For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike." And in verse 25, and remember, David's a man after God's own heart. And in verse 25, it says, "So it was from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day." That is a true picture of partnership. You share and you share alike. And so there's people that gave into this project, and maybe Sam and Ben only give a nickel, and the other people gave a lot more. But everybody's going to share and share alike. It's a natural thing, and it's a spiritual thing. Pastor Ray gets up here on a Sunday morning, and he preaches a message, and he gives an altar call, and somebody comes up here and gets saved. And someday, we're all going to be in heaven. And Pastor Hart is going to be standing there, and he's going to get a reward for leading that person to the Lord. If you're partners in this church, you share alike. You share in that reward. You help pay for the chairs. You help pay for some of the clothes he's wearing. If somebody comes up here and he lays hands on them and they get healed, you get a reward for that. If you belong to this church, if you're partnered up with this church, you're part of it. And so that's why it's so important. I believe that God wants people to be partners. I'm going to show you something in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, "So it was the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." So Jesus is standing on the edge of the water. This multitude are standing there, and Jesus is preaching to them. And they're all pressing in on him. And he's backed up against a lake. And so in verse 22, it says, he sees two boats. How many boats? Two boats standing by the lake. And the fishermen that had gone from them were washing their nets. So there's nobody in the boats. It's these two empty boats sitting there. And all these guys are washing their nets. And Jesus gets into one of the boats. And I'm told that he pulls out his boat into the water, because water can actually amplify his voice. And he's getting away from the crowd so he can speak to them. And in verse 3, it says, "And he got into one of the boats." Say one of the boats. One of the boats, which was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little bit from the land. So Jesus sits down on the boat and teaches the multitude from the boat. But when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." There is a law called the law of seed time and harvest. It's a law that God instituted way back in Genesis chapter 8. And as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not quit. It happens in the natural, it happens in the spiritual. It's a law. And so Peter had sowed his boat into Jesus' life. So now what? Now there has to be a harvest. Peter sowed his boat, now there has to be a harvest. So Jesus, in this case, it came immediately. And Jesus said, "Now let out your, take your boat out." So in verse 5, Simon answers and said, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And so in verse 6, when they had done this, they caught a great multitude, or a great number of fish, for their net was breaking. This is one boat. And Peter and the guys in his boat are out there, and they catch this net full of fish. And their boat starts to sink because of the big catch. And so in verse 7, it says, he signaled their partners. You see that where it says partners? The partners in the other boat. And he came, and they helped them. And they came, and both boats were full. In the NIV Bible, in verse 7, it says it's so full that they're sinking. But it says that they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And in verse 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Verse 9, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch that they had taken." That's in his boat. But then in verse 10 it says, "And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon." I want you to notice something, that Peter sowed his boat. Those other guys didn't have nothing to do with it. They're sitting on the shore. But when the harvest came, those partners, they're partners of Peter, they got just as much fish as Peter did. Both boats were sinking. That's the principle of partnership. I believe with all my heart that God wants people hooked up to a local church, that he wants you to partner with a local church. I believe he wants you to partner with other ministries wherever he leads you. And when you hook up to those ministries, there's an anointing on those ministries. When we taught about the twice sown seed, the anointing for increase is on the ministry. Do you remember how when Jesus got the little boy's fish, it was sown into Jesus' life? When did the increase start? On the ministry of Jesus. The anointing is on the ministry. And so when you sow, and that's what we do, the twice sown seed in this church. Anyways, you could take a message, you could teach on partnership from the Bible, the whole service. There's so much in the Bible about partnership. And so I want you guys to be encouraged that you guys that are in, go to this church, that you're partners of this church, that there's an anointing on this church for increase, therefore there's an anointing on you for increase. There's a law of progression that's happening in your life, and you may not see it now, but it's going to get better and better and bigger and bigger and greater and greater. Okay, so today we'll take up our offering. Father, I just pray for this offering. Father, we just choose to believe your word in this church. We believe that our seed is sown into good ground. And Lord, you've promised us a harvest. And so, Lord, there's different people in this place that have been believing for stuff. And you've promised us that the harvest is coming. There's a law of progression and there's a harvest coming. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for abundance and no lack. We thank you for that the spirit of poverty is broken over this place. Lord, we thank you for not just financial miracles, but physical miracles. We just give you praise and glory for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll forgive them, singing redemption song. There's a fire that burns inside. A fire that burns inside. Nothing can stop us. We'll be running through the night. With a fire that burns inside. A fire that burns inside. We are the freedom generation. Singing of mercy. You are the one who set us all in motion.
And into chapter 6, we have the story of King Solomon building and dedicating the temple that was built in his days to the Lord. The temple that David wanted to build, but God didn't permit him. And so Solomon ended up being the one that that God used. And the day comes for, in chapter 6, verse 13, the day comes for Solomon to lead the people of Israel in dedicating the temple to the Lord. And the scripture says this, now Solomon had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and he stood on it, and knelt on his knees in the presence of all the people of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, O Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to thy servants who walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him. Indeed, thou hast spoken with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thy hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, You shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your sons take heed to their way, to walk in my law as you have walked before me. And then verse 17 in 2 Chronicles reads like this. Now therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, let thy word be confirmed which thou hast spoken to thy servant David. This morning as we come together to celebrate this day of victory and this day of blessing. This last scripture, verse 17, is on our lips and in our hearts. Now, therefore, O Lord, the God of Israel, let your word be confirmed which you have spoken to your servant David. Mary, when the mother of Jesus, when the angel Gabriel came to her, and when she was in process of receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit that was going to bring forth the infant, the baby Jesus. She had all the promises in her heart, but her cry was this: together, be it unto me according to your word. Once more, be it unto me according to your word. Solomon said that very thing. Be it unto us now according to your word. And so as we celebrate this day of gladness and victory, that's our cry this morning, and our prayer is as was Solomon's. Father, let's stand together. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we so honor you and we so bow to give you thanks for your goodness today and in causing the seed that we have sown to spring up into life and to blessing. Father, for blessing your people so that we could partner together in this community of faith. Father, that we could bring seed and that we could bring the testimonies of love and devotion and testimonies of faith, declarations of faith. Father, that your hand of blessing, that the anointing of the Spirit of God is on our lives and on this place and on the ministry that you've called us to do. Father, we believe that in the days ahead you have great fruitfulness for us. We are persuaded, Father, that you have spoken to us again and again about the harvest that you would have us to reap, and about the power that you would anoint us with, that we might be a testimony to the glory of God, not only in this town, but throughout this whole community and throughout this whole region. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the blessing that has brought us to this day and to this moment of victory and this time of celebration. We thank you for allowing us to see with our own eyes the harvest that has come in the paying off of this mortgage. And we pray, God, blessing upon everyone who has given, whether they have felt that they have given little or whether they have given much. We share together as partners. Indeed, we share together. But we give you thanks this morning. We acknowledge that it has been the goodness of God. It has been the faithfulness of God. It has been the mercy of God. It has been the kindness of God that has caused us to walk in this blessing. And Father, this blessing now we declare over this entire congregation, every individual, every home, every family. Father, that we would see blessing through the encouragement of our faith, that we would see blessing flow more and more and more and more, that we would not, like the early disciples, that we would not be able to stop speaking all the things that we've seen and heard. So, Father, we rejoice at your goodness to us today, and we give you thanks for this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said, with a big voice.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rick is going to come and help me. We're going to celebrate. We're going to get some fire going. Amen. Time to get some fire.